Thank you very much, choir. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 46. Luke 24, verse 46, page 1112 in your old Scofield Reference Bible. King James Version, that is. And said unto them, this is Jesus talking, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And ye are witnesses of these things. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we thank you for this good service that you've given us tonight, these good testimonies that exalted Jesus, and there's one who is a friend of sinners, one who's able to help us and stay with us, even though the troubles and trials of life may come to us, may crash in upon us. We thank you that he's able to help us in time of need. Thank you for these good testimonies and these good songs. Thank you for everyone's turned this way tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd feed us from your word, you'd challenge us from your word, that tonight, that Lord, you'd speak to our hearts, and may we leave here better Christians than when we came here because of what the Lord will do for us through his word tonight. Now anoint me, Lord, as I preach. Give me power. May thy will be done in this service. Somebody who are not right with thee, may they come down this aisle and get things right with the Lord before they leave here in his name. Now, Lord, defeat the devil. Lord, help me. And I need your help, and I claim your help as I attempt to preach your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm convinced that the nearest thing to the heart of God is winning souls to Jesus Christ. That's why he sent Jesus into this world almost 2,000 years ago. Now, he didn't send him just to be born of a virgin, though I am glad that he did. And he did. He was born of a virgin. He did not send him to live a perfect life, though he did. And he did not send him to display his miracle-working power. But I'm glad he has all power in heaven and in earth. But he sent Jesus into this world for the purpose of dying on the cross as a sacrifice for man's sin. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So the purpose of Jesus coming was to seek and to save that which was lost. And if we want to get in on the purpose of the Lord that he has for this age, then we too need to go out and to seek to win those who are lost to Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saving and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And after Jesus died on the cross and paid man's sin debt, and after he rose triumphantly over death, hell, and the grave, and right before he ascended back to the Father to sit down at the Father's right hand, there of his majesty on high, right before he went back to the Father, he gave explicit orders to every Christian to get involved in this great task of soul winning. He said here in verse 48, ye are witnesses of these things. And I want every one of our people who are saved at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and you who are visiting, I want you to have the joy of being a soul winner for Jesus Christ. You don't have to be gifted to be a soul winner. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be good looking. Somebody say amen right there. Thank you, Leroy, for having me out there. Or you don't have to be a super spiritual person to win. So some people think you've got to be a sort of a mystic and a and just sort of otherworldly in order to be a soul winner. No, every child of God can and ought to be a soul winner for Jesus. Now, however, there are, like anything else, there are a few basic essentials for the soul winner. And I just want to give you five words tonight that are absolutely essential if you're going to be a winner of souls for Jesus Christ. First of all, is the word salvation. Now, I've heard of unsaved church members leading someone to Christ. I've heard of people that were members of church and they were challenged to go out and take the word and they learned the plan of salvation and they had won a few people to Jesus Christ and then later on they themselves got saved. Well, why could they be a soul winner and not even be saved themselves? Well, God honors His word. God honors His word. I mean, we who preach and are saved and we who teach and testify, we're not perfect. The Lord uses us in spite of ourselves. And the Lord, sometimes I've known of unsaved people giving out the word and somebody gets saved. Why? One time He even used a dumb donkey as His mouthpiece. As Dr. Lakin says, He used a donkey many years ago and has been using a lot of dumb donkeys ever since then. And that's true. Now, however, a person must know Christ as Savior. He must be a possessor of new life in Christ in order to be an authentic, consistent soul winner for Jesus Christ. Like I've mentioned a number of times, this saying, I like it, Dr. Bob Jones used to say, I'd rather hear a preacher say, I seen and really did see something than to hear a preacher get up and say correctly, I have seen and never did see anything. And a soul winner needs to have seen something. He needs to have seen something. I heard a prominent Southern Baptist, Will Hyman Appleman, say a number of years ago that after holding hundreds of revival meetings in Southern Baptist churches, that it was his opinion that about 85% of the Southern Baptist church members are lost, not born again. Now, I don't know what the percentage is in our fundamental Bible-believing churches, but I would be surprised if 50% of the people whose names are on the roll of the average independent Baptist church, it would surprise me if 50% are born again. You know, it's nothing short of a tragedy for a person to get baptized and join a church and never know personally the forgiveness of sins that can come to a person through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. You must be born again before you can be a real, consistent witness for Jesus Christ and keep everlastingly at it and have the blessing of God on your life. You've got to be born again. In 1735, John Wesley sailed as a missionary to America. And on the way over, there was a storm. And they thought it was over with. They thought the storm was terrific. And the English people on the ship, went into hysterics. They were terribly afraid and crying, wringing their hands, scared to death. But there was a little band of Moravian Christians on the boat. And while the storm was lashing the ship and there was thundering and lightning, these Moravians prayed calmly and sang hymns in the midst of the storm. And John Wesley saw something in these Moravian Christians, and he had conversation with them after the storm. And as he talked with these godly people, it made him doubt his salvation. Then he came on over, he made it to America, and spent 2 years here as a missionary and accomplished very little. And as he went back, he wrote, I went to America to convert the Indians, but oh, who shall convert me? And a short time after he returned to England, one night he went to a meeting on Aldersgate Street, and someone stood up that night and read Luther's preface to Romans concerning faith in Christ. And John Wesley said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation. And assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine. And John Wesley was saved by God's grace, had his heartwarming experience there at Aldersgate. And then immediately, John Wesley started preaching an instantaneous conversion through faith in Jesus Christ. And souls were saved everywhere he went. He could not effectively win people to Jesus Christ till he himself knew Christ as Savior. So a witness, Jesus said, "You're my witnesses." And a witness is someone who has seen something and knows something. And a witness for Jesus Christ is one who is personally acquainted with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he tells others of what Christ has done for him and wants others to know his Savior like he knows him. So it's absolutely essential that a soul winner be saved himself before he can win others to Jesus Christ. And the second word, a second thing that's an essential for a soul winner, and I believe it's the word separation. Separation. I have known a number of good soul winners in my life. And I have never met a consistent soul winner who did not live a consistent, pure, separated, holy Christian life. I've never met a consistent soul winner. I've met a lot of church members. World is the devil. But I've never met a real soul winner who wasn't a separated Christian. There's no such thing as a worldly soul winner. No such thing. It's like saying there's a heavenly devil. That's about as, that would be just as true. Now, I came to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church over 25 years ago preaching the doctrine of holy, godly living. I preached that a Christian ought to, ever since I've been here, the people have heard me say a Christian ought to live like a Christian. He ought to act like a Christian. He ought to dress like a Christian. He ought to smell like a Christian. He ought to cut his hair like a Christian and stay out of the hell holes of the world. I've said that ever since I've been there, and I won't say it until Jesus comes or God moves me away from here. And they said, when I first came here, they said, "Why, you'll run people off preaching that way." But I just believed, and I was convinced that if God was going to ever bless Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, we had to be a holy people. We had to be a holy people. And then because of the stand we've taken and the stand our church and our people and this pastor has taken on holy living, God has blessed us, and God's raised up some outstanding Christians here at our church. We've grown from 112 in Sunday school to average about 750. And listen, had people saved almost every week for years. And folks, we could have never done that job for God with a church full of worldly Christians. God wouldn't have blessed us. Listen to what the Apostle Paul told the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21. "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let me repeat that. "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." So the Apostle Paul said, if you're going to be a vessel that God uses, you're going to have to be a pure vessel. You're going to have to be a separated vessel. A soul winner should want to live a godly life so that he will be a fit vessel for God to use to win souls to Jesus Christ. So I'm convinced a holy life is essential for consistent soul winning. Then a third word I believe that's essential for a soul winner, and that is the word Spirit. The Spirit of God must do the work in the life of a lost person, folks, or there's no soul winning. There's no soul winning unless the Spirit of God is operative in the soul of that person. Now, I've taken many people down the Romans Road. Some of them didn't last till I got out of the house. But brother, when God's Spirit takes over when I leave, they're saved. I can't save them. All I can do is give the plan, God's plan of salvation. And brother, unless they themselves reach out by faith and take Jesus Christ, there's no Holy Ghost salvation in their heart and life and soul. So salvation, folks, is not giving a mental assent to the truths of the Word of God. That's the way a person's born again, is by faith in Jesus Christ. But real salvation is a work of God in the soul of man. We cannot get around that. It is, real salvation is to be born of the Spirit of God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit upon us as we seek to win souls to Jesus Christ. You know, it's an amazing truth that all of the wonderful works Jesus performed while on the earth were done in the power of the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? Everything Jesus did, he did it and under the power of and he was the second person of the Trinity. He had all power in himself, but he did everything under the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe, well, Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I believe Jesus performed all of those mighty miracles in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit to serve as an example for the believer. Because he had all the power within himself to do it. And he is our example in this matter of soul winning. And we need to be filled with the Spirit. There are two commands given in Ephesians 5:18. It says this, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. The Bible commands us to not be drunk with wine. Don't get drunk on alcoholic beverages. Last night across America, people made fools of themselves with the evil demon of drink. Young people, don't ever take that first drop of liquor, beer, or wine. Never take that. Never take that first drink of beer, liquor, or wine. Now, we all agree with that. But there's another command in that verse. And be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Now let me be quick to say, the Scriptures teach that when we believe, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells the believer. I believe he comes in the moment we receive Christ as our Savior. I believe the Holy Spirit comes in. Romans 8:9 says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. You know, I didn't understand that for years. That I was indwelt with the sweet Spirit of God. And once a Christian realizes, the Bible teaches that we who are saved are indwelt with the Spirit. Once we understand that's a blessed assurance to know. Even though we may not always feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, he's there for his child. He's there. And it's no longer... Do I have the Spirit? I do have the Spirit. The question now for the believer is, do the Spirit have control of me? Does the Spirit have me? Am I yielded to him? Now, it's essential for the soul winner to be filled with the Spirit for two important reasons. First of all, the Holy Spirit produces compassion in the heart of the soul winner. How can I have real compassion for the lost unless the Holy Spirit gives me that compassion? Folks, it must come from the Holy Spirit. You want to be a soul winner? You want to have compassion? Then it must come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must burden your heart for the lost. It can't be worked up. You can't work up a burden for lost people. You must pray, God, burden my heart. Give me a burden for the souls of men. And get a burden from the Holy Spirit to go out and win people to Jesus Christ. As Lester Roloff said, a Christian is not worth 10 cents without a burden. And that's right. I agree. We need the Holy Spirit to burden us for the lost. That is a very important reason we need to be filled with the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost can burden our hearts to win people to Jesus Christ. Then the second thing, the second reason we need to be filled with the Spirit is that the Holy Spirit must produce conviction and conversion in the heart of the lost, man or woman, boy or girl. There, as I've already said, there is no real salvation unless it is a work of God in the soul of man. That's what salvation is. It's a work of God in the human heart. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Every time I get up here to preach, I get on my face before God and beg him for his help and his anointing. Every time I go out and try to win someone to Christ, I ask the Lord to help me. Every time you get up and teach a class, you'll get on your face somewhere and pray for God to help you. Every time you get up here to sing a solo or a quartet or duet or whatever you say, you ought to get on your face and ask the Holy Spirit to use you when you stand up to sing. When we go out to witness, we ought to pray that the Holy Spirit will go before us and fill us and use us for his glory. So we need the Holy Spirit in soul winning. Then a fourth word I want to mention, and that is supplication. It's an essential for a soul winner is supplication. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, supplication is prayer in overdrive. Supplication is holding on to God for that desired object. Supplication is begging humbly, beseeching, and begging God. And folks, we need to beg God for souls. We need to beg God for souls. John Knox cried out, God, give me Scotland or I die. David Brainerd, in the early days of our country, God called him to a missionary up in the northeast part of America. In the early days of this nation, he would get down in the snow and lie down and pray until his body heat would melt the snow. And then God would bring those heathen Indians from all of those mountains around there, 30, 40, 50, 60 miles. They wouldn't even know why they were coming to him. And they'd come to David Brainerd, and he'd tell them about Jesus, and they would be miraculously converted from heathen darkness and get saved by the grace of God. George Mueller prayed for over 50 years for his brother. And he wasn't saved till after Mr. Mueller's death, and he got saved right after Mr. Mueller died. Over 26 years ago, while I was up in Illinois, my wife's mother prayed all night for her son, Stan, who was about 18 or 19 at that time, I believe about 18. And we were in a tent revival, Dr. Tory Johnson there in Dixon, Illinois, and we're having a great revival. And her son was going to go to Bradley University to enter college the next day. And so she knew that that next night would be his last service in the revival, and her son was unsaved. And so Mrs. Ebersole prayed all night for her son that he'd be saved before he went off to college. And he came and sat with his girlfriend that night and didn't come forward. And so during the invitation, I went back and talked to him. I knew that his mother had prayed all night, and God surely must be working in that boy's life. And he didn't want to come forward. And I almost drug him down the aisle. I don't believe I've ever done that before. I almost forcibly pulled him down that aisle. And I took him back to the inquiry tent over the side of the big tent and turned him over to a friend, preacher friend of mine, and he couldn't do a thing with him. He came over and said, Gene, he said, he's hard as nails. I can't do a thing with him. And so there was an old preacher there that had planned to go back to Chicago. He's an old retired preacher, great man of God, Brother Dick. And a train strike delayed. I believe God caused that train strike just on time to keep Brother Dick there for Stan's sake to hear Mother's prayer. And I took him over to Brother Dick, and I said, Brother Dick, would you talk and pray with Stan here? He needs to get saved. And Brother Dick got him over and got him down on his knees and started praying with him and showing him God's word while some of the others of us gathered and prayed over here. And in just a few minutes, Stan broke down, and Brother Dick led Stan to Jesus Christ. And folks, Stan has lived for Christ ever since then. And just a few days ago, I found out his son had answered this call to preach and had already started preaching. God heard the prayers and supplications of a mother who wanted her son to be saved before he went off to college. And I believe God so ordained that that train strike came at that time to keep Brother Dick there to win Stan to Jesus Christ. God heard and answered a mother's prayer. And we must pray for our friends and neighbors who are lost. We must not give up until they're saved and living for Jesus Christ. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. Will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Prayer and supplication and begging God are essential for the soul winner. Then one other thing. One of the words is essential for the soul winner. That is surrender. You can be saved and you can be separated. You can be spirit-filled. You can be holding on to God in prayer and supplication. But there's one other essential for the soul winner. The soul winner must be surrendered to the task of winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Unless you're surrendered and committed to winning the lost, you'll never be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. We must realize that before the Lord went back to heaven, he left us the commission to preach the gospel to every creature. You know, I've wanted to see people saved ever since I got saved as a 13-year-old boy. All my life, I've wanted to see people saved. All my life. I'll never forget my first soul-winning experience. Now, I didn't win this person to Jesus Christ, but the Lord used me to help him to get saved. After my senior year in high school, we were having God came down up on my hometown at a great revival. I mean the presence of God. Every night, my mother and father and us kids were at home. We'd walk up Moxon Holler. I didn't say holler. I said holler. It was Moxon Holler. A big difference now. Hang around, I'll teach you English. You'll learn good English. But there was a church up there God was blessing. And revival had come to that whole area. And I walked up there that night, and the church was packed, people standing around, sitting around outside, couldn't get in. And so I sat over on, let's see, I sat over on this side over here. There's a hill right outside the window, that side, and the windows were open. And my first cousin, who had been in World War II and been wounded about six times and been... He'd got out of the service and already been married and divorced twice and got on whiskey and become a drunkard. And he was seated right out by me, right outside, looking in the window of the revival. And during the invitation, I said, Ed, I said, and I was a senior in high school. I said, Ed, why don't you go in and get saved? And you know what he did? He got right up off the hill out there where we were seated, and he didn't say a word, and he went around. And I was following right after him. And the people were praying all over the front and up and down. Now, it wasn't a big church. And I couldn't get but a halfway. And I knelt down and prayed. He came on, got all the way down to the mourner's bench, and they started praying with him. In a few minutes, I looked up, and there Ed was standing up with a smile on his face, and my uncle was hugging his neck. He just got saved. And that thrilled me that I had a little part in winning my first cousin to Jesus Christ. Though I didn't personally win him to Christ. The Lord used me there. It wasn't till... I didn't become a soul winner myself till my senior year in college. I was on a football scholarship down at Southern Mississippi. We had played in the Sun Bowl that previous January 1st. By the way, that was 36 years ago today. And that summer, I surrendered to preach and went over to Bob Jones University and got a work loan scholarship. I never will forget a friend of mine, Buck Varner, was a sports editor of the Chattanooga Times paper down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he put my picture on the sports page, and he captioned, "Lastly, leaves Southern Mississippi for a ministerial scholarship at Bob Jones University." And I never did tell him that was a work loan scholarship, and my duty was cleaning faculty restrooms and offices. I just let him think it was a ministerial scholarship. But I remember, and by the way, I needed that. If the Lord used that in my life, if you're too good, a preacher's too good to clean restrooms, he's too good to be used of God. I remember one morning, I'd cleaned the faculty restrooms in the alumni building and the offices and swept the halls empty the waste paper baskets. Went back to my room and picked up the newspaper, and the headlines on the sports page was "Lowly Southern Mississippi upsets mighty Alabama." They were rated, I think, up close to the top in the country at that time. And the old devil spoke to my heart and said, "Yeah, if you hadn't come over to Bob Jones University, you'd have been in on that." And it sort of defeated me for a little while. But I went to Bob Jones because God had called me to preach, and I got under the soul-winning emphasis of old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., and I got challenged to win people to Jesus Christ. And in just a few days, I had to went out on extension work and won a 12-year-old boy to Jesus Christ. And I've been in the soul-winning business ever since. The greatest business in this world is winning people to Jesus Christ. I got involved in the great business of soul winning when I was 21 years old. And the Lord has let me have the privilege of winning people to Jesus Christ for 35, 36 years. Now, if you're saved tonight, why don't you say, "I know I ought to be a soul winner. And by God's help and by God's grace, from this moment on, the rest of my days on this earth, the Lord saved me, and I'm going to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ." Folks, listen. This church will never be what it ought to be for Jesus till we become soul winners at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And we're commanded to be a witness for Christ. We're commanded to be soul winners. Why don't you make a vow, as I mentioned this morning? Why don't you make a vow? "Lord, with your help, I'll be a witness this year." Year 1989. "I'll try to talk to somebody about their soul and try to win somebody to Christ every week this year. And by God's grace, I want to set a goal, Lord, of bringing one person down the aisle here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that I've won to Christ in 1989. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Would they have 50, 60, 75 people bringing somebody down this aisle that won to Jesus Christ this year, 100 people? We can do it. If we're saved and claim God's blessing and ask God to burden us and live a holy life and beg God for souls, God can use us to be soul winners in 1989. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. You know, folks, this could make a difference at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church this year. If we'll commit ourselves to being a witness for Christ and promise God that this year, one time a week, we're going to present the plan of salvation to somebody the Lord brings across our pathway. Maybe a loved one. Maybe somebody we work with. May come up here and go out on visitation. Maybe somebody in our Sunday school class, but we'll, with God's help, and folks, if we get in earnest about this, God will give us somebody to witness to. He'll give you somebody to witness to. And promise God you'll try to present the plan of salvation to somebody every week during the 52 weeks of 1989, and then ask God with His help to enable you this year to win somebody to Jesus and get them down this aisle. How many of you will make that vow tonight for God? Just, if you will, I want you, here for, let's just play softly, "All to Jesus I Surrender." If you'll make that vow, why don't you just get up from where you're seated and come down here and get in this altar and make that vow to God and then slip back to your seat. And then just make that vow to God and then just go right back to your seat. Ask the Lord to help you this year to be a soul winner and help you to win at least one person to Jesus Christ this year. And get them down the aisle. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Just tell the Lord that. Ask Him to fill you this Spirit. Make you a soul winner this year. Stir your soul and enable you. Open doors of opportunity for you to witness this year. Oh, folks, if I believe that this can be the cause of many being in heaven as a result of this vow these are making before God tonight. If God's laid on your heart, others of you, you're commanded to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. You're commanded. A person is a disobedient Christian unless they're trying to win people to Jesus Christ. You slip down here, get on your knees, tell the Lord you're going to be a soul winner for Jesus. When you're through praying and committing yourself, just go right back to your seat. A new day will dawn in your life when you get in this soul winning business. Maybe there's somebody here tonight, you're not even saved. And you'll say, "Preacher, I can't be a soul winner because I'm not even saved. Don't know the Lord as my Savior." Or maybe you're a Christian and you're not a soul winner because you're out of the will of God. Why don't you get up from where you're seated and come down here and get saved and get right with God. And God will use you in a mighty way. Is there anyone here this tonight? Say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved. And I'm not right with God. I'm a Christian, but not right with God." Just get up from where you're seated and come down. We'll pray with you and help you tonight. Is there one like that? Okay, come right ahead, Brother Gary. We have one to baptize at this time. So, Brother Rick, you come right ahead and we'll prepare for our baptismal service.
Who has a favorite tonight? You'd like to sing? Yes, sir. 67, all right. Number 67, everyone standing. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye.
Seated.